The Senate Judiciary Budget Division will come to order. Today is Tuesday, March 2nd, year 2010. This afternoon, we're going to be taking up our supplemental budget recommendations, and I intend to move on to the full Finance Committee at the end of the hearing. The process for today is to have Chris Turner first walk us through the spreadsheet and then take brief testimony from the public in regarding to these proposed reductions. After the testimony is completed, I will be discussing the matter with the members. Before we do that, however, let me take a minute or two to reflect on the spreadsheet and language before you. I do not take pride in submitting these cuts, and I have no doubt that they will have an impact on each and everyone here before you. Every day, our judicial branch and partners provide essential services to our community, and once again, they're being asked to do more with less. Now, with a sizable deficit before us and a larger one to come, we must all have done a way to our current situation. Our division is one of many, and we'll have to struggle to make the necessary cuts in order to fulfill this responsibility. I'd now like to have Mr. Turner take a walk with us through the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'll be going over the one-page spreadsheet in front of you, timestamp 5:18 p.m. Start out by pointing out on line 56 of the spreadsheet, the governor had a total recommended budget reduction of $18,085,000. Senator Foley's division received a budget reduction target of $19,100,000, essentially $1 million more than the governor's recommendation. The way this budget is put together, $19.1 million comes to 2.6% of the 2010-11 base. The cuts have been proportioned one-third in fiscal year 2010 and two-thirds in fiscal year 11. The fiscal year 11 number will continue out in tails for fiscal years 12 and 13. Those cuts represent, on a fiscal year basis, 1.7% cut from the base in fiscal year 10, and 3.4% cut for fiscal year 11. So I'll just go right down the spreadsheet. The first agency on the list is Supreme Court Operations, line number 5. The governor recommended a budget reduction of $1,467,000. The Chair recommends a budget reduction for the biennium of $1,615,000. Civil Legal Services, the governor recommended a reduction of $1,053,000. The Chair recommends $639,000. Court of Appeals on line 19, the governor recommended a cut of $468,000. Chair recommends a cut of $530,000. District Court, the governor recommended operating reduction to the courts of $11,229,000. In addition, the governor recommended transferring the implied consent hearings to the Office of Administrative Hearings from the courts to the OAH. That's an additional reduction of $516,000. For a total cut of $11,745,000 to the courts. Chair is recommending a total cut to the courts of $12,869,000 and is silent on the transfer of the implied consent hearings to OAH at this time. Moving on to the tax court, line 32, the governor recommended a budget reduction of $37,000. The chair recommends $24,000. For uniform laws, the governor recommended a reduction of $2,000 in the second year, and the chair concurs. Board of Judicial Standards, the governor recommended a reduction of $24,000. Once again, the chair concurred with that recommended cut. And finally, the Public Defense Board, the governor recommended a general reduction of $2,376,000. In addition to that, which represented 3% of the operating budget for the board, in addition to that, a 6% cut to the public defense grants to Hennepin and Ramsey County and the public defense corporations of $913,000. That's a total cut to the public defender of $3,289,000. The chair, on the other hand, simply recommended a cut of $3,397,000. He did not single out the public defender grants to Hennepin Ramsey or the corporations. That comes to a total budget reduction of $19,100,000, which was the target received by Chairman Foley. And that's the end of the spreadsheet. The bill underneath it, simply, this is a very simple bill. All it does is reflect the spreadsheet. What it does is amends Session Laws 2009, Chapter 83, Article 1, which was the crime bill, the crime funding bill last year. And that's the end of my presentation, Mr. Chairman.
Committee, questions of Mr. Turner? Senator Ingebrigts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Turner. So the total cut of $19,100,000, that reflects a $1,015,000 larger cut than the governor's recommendation. Is that right,
Mr. Chairman? Senator Ingebrigts, and that's correct.
Yes.
Further comments, questions? We'll open it up to the folks here that have requested a hearing, and that's first of all Teresa Kingsley. Would you have a seat up, please?
Would you pull that microphone forward?
Welcome to the committee. Would you please state your name and proceed?
Yes. Senator Foley, committee members, my name is Serena Vergine. I am with Teresa Kingsley and Becky Brandt. We are with Council 65, which represents some of the clerical and technical employees in the district courts in the Minnesota Judicial Branch. As frontline workers, they have seen the direct impacts that previous funding cuts have had on the delivery of service and access to justice. We do appreciate the work that the committee has done to try to reduce those impacts, especially facing the significant challenges with the budget situation. While they are prepared to share some of the personal impacts that have had, they would like to defer their comments to the judicial branch representatives at this time. So if you would like to speak with the judicial branch representative that's next on the agenda, they would prefer to do that at this time.
Thank you. Becky Brandt? Okay. Yes, sir.
Chairman Foley and members of the committee, my name is Jeff Shorba. I'm the Deputy State Court Administrator for the Minnesota Judicial Branch. I'm appearing today on behalf of Sue DoSalle, who is not able to be at this hearing. We want to thank the committee for your support. We recognize that these are very tough economic times, and the legislature has some very difficult decisions. As you heard last week in our testimony, these will not be easy cuts to take. As we have already taken some and are trying to make do with what we have. But we also recognize that you've had recognition of our hard work on trying to be efficient, trying to use technology, and try to make changes in the branch. So I'm just here to recognize the tough decision that you had to make. We thank you for taking the time to look very closely at these reductions, and we appreciate the support that you've given to the branch. Thank you.
Members have any questions? Witness? Apparently not. Thank you for coming. We would move forward to the civil legal services. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Floyd Panuski. I'm the director of Judicare of Anoka County. We provide civil legal services in Anoka County. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the civil legal services programs that receive funding through this committee. I want to first thank the chair and the committee for all of the past support over the years and the recognition of the quality legal work that we do. And I do believe that the budget recommendations reflect that support. And I want to thank you for your efforts to keep the budget cuts at a minimum for civil legal services. We understand the difficult times that the committee has had here trying to make these decisions. But we do want to emphasize that even cuts this small will result in layoffs throughout the state and reduce services for the clients we serve. This is a pretty serious time to have those layoffs and reduce services, since over the last couple years, applications for service have increased by 40%. And with the cuts from last year, we had to reduce services to around 3,000 people. And these cuts, we're expecting another reduction in services to 1,200. But we do want to, again, thank the committee for recognizing civil legal services as a part of the justice system and an important part. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Batson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was on the board of directors of Judicare of Anoka County when we hired Mr. Panuski, and he's done an excellent job for the last 30 years or so since he's been there. I was just talking briefly prior to the hearing, and we had some budget crises in the early 80s that we were trying to deal with, and it's amazing how worse it's gotten, over the years. We were struggling to try to find a way to pay, they have lawyers in private practice that volunteer their time to provide services for the indigent, so they don't get paid for that. I mean, that's just part of the program. But they do get paid for some of the services they do. And as I recall, that we were paying them 30 years ago, it was about $40 an hour, which back then was nothing. Today, Mr. Panuski tells me they finally got up to $50 an hour at some point. You can't hire any lawyer for anybody to do $50 an hour, but the panel attorneys in Anoka County are willing to do that, but at some point that's going to run out. I remember, I don't know the situation anymore, but there was like one day a week when, you'd have to be able, or one day a month, I guess it was, when you'd be able to take calls for reduced or services for people who were indigent who needed divorces. Basically, the phone will start ringing and you just start taking the first X number of calls, and that's it for the month. I don't know how, but that was it, because they had to put other resources in domestic abuse hearings. They had to do that. So it's shocking to think, how we're trying to run a program on the shoestrings as we are. So.
Thank you, Senator Betzel.
Thank you, Senator Betzel. And I do want to thank you for your kind comments about the program. And all of the civil legal services programs use private attorneys in the delivery of legal services. And our program itself, panel attorneys provided 900 hours of free service to low-income clients. And I think statewide we've reached levels above 9 to 10,000 hours. So we look very many places for funding. It's not just the state. So, but thank you again, Chair, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Committee members have any further questions or comments? I would only say that what you're doing indication that you can help the court by taking care of things in advance, and it reduces the caseload for judges, and I think that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Public defense.
Mr. Chairman and members, for the record, my name is Kevin Kyer, the Chief Administrator for the Board of Public Defense. I'd just like to echo what the other folks have said. You know, we realize what kind of constraints you all were under, and the work that you all did and the support, past and present, that you've given public defense. It's not an easy time for any of us. So, you know, we'll continue to work with our friends at the court and trying to do things better. But as we talked about last week, I think we're not going to reform our way out of this, but we're certainly not going to, you know, keep from trying that either. So that's all we've got. I think we laid it out last week in terms of kind of the impact of all of it. I would mention to Senator Betzelt, we are paying our contractors when we have them $50 an hour, and that's been the going rate for quite some time, and we're having trouble finding folks to do that work. I mean, it's a tough racket. So
I do have Senator Cohen, perhaps you have some comments or about our witness here for the public defense.
No, I actually, with apologies, I have to go to a courthouse for a few minutes before.
I thought maybe he was bringing some money with him, Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
He is doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kyer. I appreciate that. Members, comments on what you've heard and what you see in front of you.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the spreadsheet.
We have a motion to adopt. Questions on the motion? Hearing none. The matter of Betzel's motion. I don't have the number. Okay. All those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Betzel.
I move that the document SC-7336 be recommended to pass to the Finance Committee.
You've heard that. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none. Senator Ingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not a lot of discussion, but certainly some concern here. The recommendations are from this committee actually higher than what the governor's recs for cuts are, and we are living with this in the other world as well in Linda's committee, public safety, and I'm concerned about. Concerned about the cuts to start with, and now we're actually cutting another $1 million more here. So I'm just wondering, what's the chair's position? Does he have no recourse here whatsoever? I'm not exactly how to answer this question. I guess I'm very concerned about cutting more than what the governor recommended and where that may go. I'm not sure how that goes about.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I'm certainly sorry I came in at the wrong time.
but welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Because, there's no question. These are difficult budgets. These are budgets in my world I would not want to pass. Ingebrigtsen, you're correct in making reference to the other half, or not the other half of this committee, but kind of the partner committee. But there's some simple answers. The governor proposed cuts to tax aids and credits, property taxes, which go directly to public safety. You know that better than anybody at this table, from your other life. Governor proposed cutting $250 million. from tax aids and credits.
LGA.
Our proposal, which we're also not happy about, will probably be in the neighborhood of $100 million. The governor, as part of his budget, is utilizing fictitious money, something we've never seen before, $387 million from the federal government for FMAP monies, which doesn't even exist. It hasn't passed. It's sitting in a couple of bills, one of which is a dead bill in the Congress, and the governor put that money in his budget. If we can do that, great. I'll add $50 million to this budget. That's what we'll do if we can utilize money like that. I mean, the governor's done stuff with his budget that I've never seen all the years I've been here. And so what happens is, there's no question, his budget for this division is a little bit better. I will tell you, in defense of the
chairman,
he and I have had these discussions, you know, there were some initial numbers being floated around that were much higher than this number. And so we worked hard to try to bring it down to, you know, the ballpark of the unacceptable number of the governor's. I'm not defending this number, I'm not defending the governor's number. But in terms of the totality of the budget, I realize what we do around this place is, how many years have we seen this? We always do things in contrast to the governor's budget. You know, are we $5 million below the governor's rec, or are we $10 million above the governor's rec? But this governor's budget, I mean, this governor in terms of Governor Plenty, I'm saying this particular budget this year, whether I've agreed
or not
with how Governor Plenty has put together his budgets in the past, he's put together real budgets. This one is just cobbled together in a way that's unworkable. If the federal government doesn't come through with $387 million, and I was criticized by Senator Betzold earlier, so I don't want to get too far afield on this, that money originally was in the federal health care bill. And it looked like that bill was on its way to passage. Well, that bill, who knows what that bill is doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the money isn't in that bill. Whatever they do in Washington in terms of the federal health care bill, the money's not in that bill anyways anymore. It's in other bills, 387. So there's your difference. I can go through some other differences, some significant differences, but those are two very notable differences.
Singer Engelbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so we don't know when that's coming or when we'll get a final answer on that federal stuff.
Or if it's ever coming.
Yeah.
You know, if you want, Mr. Chairman, maybe call the president. He probably doesn't know. Call Senator Reid. He doesn't know. I actually am going to follow up with somebody on the White House Domestic Policy Council hopefully this week to see if they have a sense. But we have no idea. And Commissioner Hanson will tell you he doesn't know. So there's your difference. That $550 million goes a long way toward explaining the disparities between our targets and the governor's numbers.
Any comments, members? Questions of Senator Cohen? Senator Engelbretson?
Do I look like I have a question on my mind? No, I'm just very concerned, and everybody at the table is concerned, as well as everybody sitting here, where we're going here in this. And we've been seeing these cuts come, it's just a general concern. It's not pointing the finger at anybody. It's just this is an area where we really, really, I mean, is there one area we really need to pay a little more attention to than the other? Yes, I would say that there probably is, and this is one. And we're hearing that courts are 5 months lagging on a released felony case. At least I'm hearing that out in rural Minnesota. I'm very concerned about it. And, that's all. That's all. I'm just very concerned. Just a comment.
Senator Cohen.
Senator Engelbretson, I've taken some pride over the years as being somebody who, and others at this table, obviously the chairman, and we have a bunch of chairmen at this table. All four have been very supportive as chairs of the court budgets.
And I think a sense,
and I'll tell you, it's not a partisan sense. There's been strong support from both parties in the Senate relative to what the courts are attempting and what they need to do. And we've heard the testimony in this division. Court budget is basically people. It's not programs or things you can be dismissive of. And when the cut's $1 million, much less this proposed division report, is very difficult. I recognize this committee is not the tax committee. You know, you have to look at securing new revenue under cuts elsewhere. When I heard the November forecast, it was without question the worst forecast I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Not just the dollar itself, but what it represents and what it represents for the future. So if this budget isn't the day of reckoning, you can bet the next one will be.
Right. Thanks.
When you look at the overall picture, members, we have a situation here where we very easily could have been required to do something about the constitutionality or lack thereof when it comes to the number of judges available or the public defense not having adequate staff to deal with that. And it was a very difficult situation to close this out, because I happen to sit on Senator Hagan's committee, and I was chair of that committee for several years, and I've been a police officer 33 years. 2 years I was a deputy sheriff, and so I have a feedback of what goes on. I've been a prosecutor for 14 years, and I think that to do the things that I've worked on and during these 14 years in the legislature, that I have accomplished a lot, and I appreciate the support that members and you, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I know your background, and appreciate the things you're doing with this committee. Further questions or comments?
I'll renew my motion, Mr. Chair.
We have the motion before you. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails. I think that accomplishes that. We adjourn.
Well, speaking of adjournment.
Linda, did you get that?
Yeah, I think so.